If you look and you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at some of the issues here that a son and daughter in Christ, because this is what we have to face, the reality of that we have received the adoption. We have received the adoption to be sons and daughters in Christ. And what that means is if you have children, 10 children, just say for instance, if you have 10 children, now you know once they get of age, you're going to want one of your children, if not all, to be partakers of your business, of the full inheritance that you've called for them to partake of. Because once we have children, we just don't have a child just so we can say, okay, this is going to be a baby all its life, or a young man or a young girl all their life. You're going to want them to grow up. You're going to want them to think like you do, do things the way you would do them, and work together with you in what you're doing. And the idea of the adoption that we have is the Father wants us to be ones after his own heart, ones to have the thinking that to think like he does. And we liken that back to David. David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon, he wanted the wisdom of God. He wanted the wisdom and understanding. And that's what we see when we look at the Proverbs. And that's why we're going to go to the Proverbs and look at this issue. But we go to the Proverbs to look at how that relationship from a father to son relationship is translated to not just a father talking to a son about, I'm your father, you're going to do what I say. But no, one that wants the son to cry after the knowledge of the father. Ones that that want the son to want that adoption and want to be what his father called him to be. And it's the same thing with us with the adoption process here, as we see. And if you will, again, Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And again, this is the idea that, okay, now you have received, you see what you have received, that spirit of adoption, but it's now what's the next step? Are you going to accept this? Are you going to be a son? And when I liken the issue to when we have children, you want the son or daughter that's going to be the one that if you have a business, that you can leave that business onto them. And when the customers deal with you or your son, they can't tell the difference. When they deal with you or your son or your daughter, they cannot tell the difference because that son has adopted your ways. He wants that adoption. They want the adoption to be not just an heir, but also one that is one that he can say, this is a son in whom I am well pleased, or daughter in whom I am well pleased. And again, looking at that word received, in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of abundance again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. See, when you're looking at this, and we're going to see this in the Proverbs here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians and see the idea of receiving. See, this is not the same way it's done with Israel. With Israel, there was an education system set in place for their sanctification that was, if you don't, then I will. The Lord gave Israel ways to live. He gave those justified saints ways that they ought to live by. He told them 613 laws. This, you shouldn't do this. If you do this, then I'm going to curse you. If you don't do this, then you're going to get cursed. So this is different. Now you have a son, not just a saint, but a son and daughter being beseeched to receive something. And again, you don't have to receive the spirit of adoption, and most don't. But this is something that you're beseeched to receive, that spirit of adoption, that capital S spirit adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to cry after the Father's knowledge. To be, anytime you see that word Father, the word Father being associated to speaking of God, it's speaking of Father to Son. When you see the word, again, the word God, it talks about that. That's His supreme nature. But anytime you see Father, it's looked, you need to look upon that is, Paul is explaining that this is Father doctrine to Son doctrine, which we know all his epistles are, but he wants you to amplify upon that fact right there. Now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1? We're going to take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 1. And again, when you're looking at Proverbs, this is an interdispensational book, whereas you're looking at the behavior of a man, of the man. You're looking at things that are not commandments, where they are written in a sense to speak of the laws and things like that. These things that you see in Proverbs are totally different from that, because again, there's a beseeching here. There's not a, if you will, then I will curse you. So let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 1, and let's look at verse 2 here. Let's look at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. Now you see what's the basis here of how a son ought to be. These are like the table of contents of how a son ought to gain his education. How he used to gain his education is the step-by-step measure. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction. Now, you stop in there. You see what this says, to receive the instruction. Now, that there is, it's not saying that this is supposed to, that all sons and saints are going to do this, but this is saying that this is what one that is about his father's business would do. They would receive instruction of wisdom, justice, of judgment, and of equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And this is, when you're looking at this, you're looking at the, in verse 4, subtlety to the simple. The simple son, you have to come and give them the instructions in a more device way. You have to give them it's similar to if you have a toddler. Their diet is not like our diet. They have to be on a more decisive dietary. They can only drink so much intake of things. They can't drink soda. They can't take in meats like we can. They have to drink a certain type of liquids and things of that nature. So when you're dealing with this as a young man, knowledge and discretion, now you're dealing with a more of a adult son. And knowledge, we know a young man ought to have a knowledge, but discretion is something that when you do things with discretion, you do it discreetly. You do it in a sense of now you are aware how you are to walk. You walk circumspectly. You tend to you tend to be mindful of your actions. And we're going to look at that more likely next week. But a lot of times Paul talked about discretion. Paul said in many verses like, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Or Paul would say things like, follow me. Ye have us for an examples. And see, Paul and the disciples knew how they ought to walk with discretion because of the other saints there that were watching. And not just the saints, but also we have to be mindful and use discretion when you're a young man because of the angels. And see, that young man doctrine is when you come to Ephesians through Colossians, you're dealing with a young man doctrine. That's why you see so much talk about the body, about the heavenly places, about the being an example. And Paul says, if ye be then risen, seek those things which are above, and your conversation is in heaven, and things of that nature. That's all dealing with discretion. So not to get on these the different things, the different stages you see here of a saint that grows. He grows from a simple son to a young man to a wise man to a man of understanding. But now let's come to, because what we're dealing with is the whole issue here of receiving that spirit of adoption and how we ought to receive it. What should be the actual designed way that we ought to, a son ought to properly receive the word the way God would have him to. Not just a saint that would squander this opportunity that we have. It's a privilege. And if you look at some of the high-profile people of today, and you take the people that own, just say, Apple, for instance, well, you could take the person that own it, and if he has sons and daughters, he's going to want one of his heirs to take over the business. He's going to want one that actually that is thinking like he does, doing things his way, working together with him, knowing who the opposition is, knowing all the tactics of the opposition, and also knowing that their endeavor is to keep this thing going on, is to keep it where it's like father, like son. Now, if you will, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's look at what's said here. And notice, it's conditional. It's not, if you don't, then I will curse you. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now you see in verse 1 there, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And this is what a father does to beseech the son or daughter. And that's what we do also. We beseech our children to be all that we call them to be, to want to take interest in the family business. Whether the father is a lawyer and he wants his son or daughter whether it's a doctor or whatever, it could be less. Could be say one person. Words hide my command. When you hide something with you, it's even you yourself can't lose them, so to speak. Not just keep them with you, but hide them. Hide my commandments with thee. The things that, that he was taught, the words, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou will incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And when you apply your heart to something, it's something that you value. It's something that you value and esteem. Verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. That's even taken into a higher degree. When you're crying after, when it touches your soul, that's not just only you applying your heart to it, getting your heart to, you're enlarging your heart to this, but you're crying after this. But this is something that, this is what it means when Paul is explaining to us, ye have received the spirit of adoption. This is what we need to understand about that, about what we have received. And we're going to see what we have received, and we're going to look at the contrary issue of receiving the things of this world that we so automatically do. You know, we've been born into sin. We've been born into a sin-cursed world. We've been following the course of this world and its system, its ways, and we have received that type of learning and things that we need to now adjust our way of thinking. And we're no different than David Solomon was teaching here and things like that, and what was being learned. We're no different than that. Because, again, a son is being beseeched to cry after knowledge, to incline thy ears unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding, hide commandments of the Father within them. Now come to Proverbs chapter 3, since we're over here in the book of Proverbs. Let's come over to chapter 3 here. And let's look at verse 13 here. Well, let's look at verse 3 first. Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that he shall direct thy paths. Be thou wise in thine own eyes. For the Lord, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Okay, now, when you're looking at, this is a warning, a father to a son. And the same warning that we give our children when they go out into the world, when they become young adults, we give them the pep talk where we tell them, okay, you know what I told you. Remember what I told you. Don't do this. Don't stay out too late. Don't go over here. Stay away from unruly people. So, and what you see here, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, which is similar to keep it close to you. Keep it where you will remember this. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Because that's the discretion part of it. Because you're walking properly like you ought to walk, and you're not forsaking the truth or mercy, you're able to now find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now let's come on, first verse 5 there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's key to understand, because can you imagine some of the things we come up with? Can you imagine some of the things that our mind, that when we are left with our own way of thinking, what we can come up with? or what we have come up with. This is what's being said here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So when you look in here, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, you're seeing that, this is a warning unto a son. And the benefits is in verse 6 here. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. See, that's not saying that, you know, as you walk in the course of the day that the Lord is going to lead you in whatever direction you go. But what it's saying is his word. If you don't forsake that word is going to resonate within you because you're going to have them bound about thy neck. You're going to have them written on the table of your heart. You're going to do as Paul says to us in our dispensation, that you're going to let the word of God dwell richly within you. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God, as Romans 8, verse 14 says. And that's how, when you're led by the Spirit of God, that's the word of God, when you're led by that, in any circumstance that you have, the Lord will direct your path, because it's going to be based upon his word. And it's going to be the ministry of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit, is going to be working through you effectually. And you're going to be able to use that because you have now received the Spirit of adoption. And you're not despising it. You're not so caught up in saying, well, I'm still receiving the things of this world. I don't think I have time to receive the Spirit of adoption. And we see that when we look at, again, with high-profile figures today, when they have a business, or if they're celebrities or whatever the situation is, and then we see one of their children, they go astray. Well, they're causing their father and mother embarrassment. They're bringing a shame to the family business. They're not going to be ones who fully utilize to be fully equipped to be utilized by them. They're going to sweep them under the rug, so to speak, as far as keeping them out of the limelight. They're still an heir, but they're not what their parent has called them to be. Now come to verse 13, Proverbs 3, verse 13, and look at the benefit of having the word of their father. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, this is wisdom. This is the understanding that a son and daughter in Christ ought to have. This should be resident upon their lips. And as we see in the Proverbs, we'll look at that next week, when it says, my heart can rejoice when thy lips speak right things. And when the lips of a son or daughter can say this here, as we see in verse 13, if we had our children to say this about our knowledge that we've given unto them, our wisdom that we've given unto them, if they can value and esteem it in this way here, it would make our heart rejoice. If our children would say, I am happy that I find your wisdom and I get your understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that I can desire are not to be compared to her. Now, that's understanding of a son and daughter who values and esteem, not just the values and esteem it to be something great onto them that they want to add to their loves of their life, but they place this above any and all. That's why it says, and all the things that thou canst desire are not compared. And the things that you can desire, for the most part, we don't even get those things. We don't even achieve some of our desires because our hearts and minds can desire many things that we never put our hands on, that we never make a purchase possession. And many, oftentimes, every day, that might cross our mind of a desire to say, well, I can't wait till I retire, or I can't wait till I get to heavenly places. I can't wait till my children graduate, or whatever the issue is. That's a desire that you have, but this is a desire that you could have, that you could, that knowledge of your Father, that you can place that upon anything, and it could be your purchased possession too. Anything you can ever want, you can never compare it to the wisdom of your Father. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians. Come back to 1 Corinthians. Let's take a look at our epistles and see. Let's take a look at what Paul says. At the warnings of what we can have and what we can find that can hinder us having what our Father calls us to have. Come on to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now here, you see in Paul use in verse 12 something that what we received. He's telling you you received something here. And then he tells you what you haven't received. And when we see over in Romans 8 about you have received the spirit of adoption, look at what he says here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And that spirit which that we received of God is, we received his word. We received his word, and we know that not only that, we received this adoption that we have, and of course justification. But the things of the Lord, of the Spirit, are going to be foolishness to the man. The man is not going to, the natural man is going to look at the things you do as being foolishness, because he cannot understand when a saint and actually a son and daughter in Christ can suffer with the Father, suffer with Christ. He can't understand a saint, a son and daughter getting the education. He looks upon that as a waste of time. Now, when you see verse 13, it says, which things we also speak in words, man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, he's talking about words here. This is what he's talking about, words. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And that's what you see again in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, when it says being led by the Spirit of God. That's the teaching of the Holy Ghost from Father to Son. And when you do that, you compare spiritual things with spiritual. This is what we're being beseeched to be taught, that you're to compare. I'll give you a little example here. You have people, they have a healing ministry and things like that. You have people saying that God is healing people. Well, when you compare spiritual with spiritual, in other words, God's word, instead of what man's wisdom teach, you're going to know and understand that God's not doing that today. This is not something that man's wisdom teaches. This is what the Holy Ghost teaches, that these spiritual gifts are done away with. And even with the healing program, you know, you have people in, just say you have 10,000 people in one congregation, and someone's having they're having a healing service there. And someone gets healed, or a couple people feel that their issue left them, that they're healthy. They're more healthy than they were before. Well, that's just going to be just consequence. It would be the same thing. It would be the same thing as if they never went to that service. See, the idea is that a lot of people look upon things that happen to them, circumstances that they, whether they prayed for or whether or things all worked out, and they place value upon that, but they forget about the other 1,000 times that it didn't work. But they only are going to place, they just look upon that as, well, I guess it didn't work. They actually don't even pay much mind to it. They tend to mind the things that supposedly worked out. But again, that's just a little example about how ones can look at what this world teaches, what man's wisdom teach, versus what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the natural man does not, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, and there are going to be foolishness unto him. But he doesn't think of himself to be a fool. But the Spirit of God is what we're taught to be led by. If it's not, if you don't see it in God's word, it's not of God. God's not doing it. And then many people can agree with that. But they tend to take a verse and then they have their own system belief based upon that verse, and they add on to it. And they'll say what God really meant to say. Well, let's come to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look at verse 3 for time's sake. Let's look at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, looking at this here, we're seeing the subtle way that Satan beguiled Eve. And we're seeing his objective. It was to corrupt. It was to corrupt. And the idea here is, that's why it says, so your mind should be corrupted for the simplicity that is in Christ. And that corruption is an ongoing thing to hinder you so you can go after this world, so you can receive not the Spirit of God, but so you can receive the spirit of this world. So you can not just go by based upon what the Holy Ghost teaches, but so you can be going by what man's wisdom teaches, just the same way Satan beguiled Eve. It was his wisdom. It was his subtlety to have her make the decision and Adam make the decision to use their wisdom versus the wisdom of God. They should have leaned upon God's wisdom. And we've seen that over in the proverb. We've seen that over in the proverb when it says that trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not onto thine own understanding. And that's key to understand there. That's key to understand it. And notice verse 4. It says, if he that cometh, because they are going to, he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or ye have, which ye have not accepted. And notice the words being used there, received and accepted. This is something that someone wants to take in. This is something that they want to live by, that they want. When you receive something, you receive it because you want to receive it. You don't have to receive things other than bills, and, which, of course, you don't want to receive those, but we took on the responsibilities and we knew the consequence, so that is something that we receive based upon our own desire. So, again, but the situation here I'm looking at is Paul's saying that if you receive another spirit. Now, you see, we're told that we have received the spirit of adoption. Well, what's this receiving of a spirit here? And we see it every day. We see it every day when some you have people telling you, oh, well, you're not saved unless you get the Holy Ghost, or if you speak with tongues, show evidence of tongues, and that's just one element of that. Now let's come to Galatians here. Let's come to Galatians here. I'm going to try to cover these verses. Galatians. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Try to cover a few of these verses in a short amount of time here. Galatians chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And Paul calls these saints foolish. He says, who hath bewitched you? Because it would be a bewitching, because Paul just established, he just gave these saints doctrine to live by. He gave them doctrine to live by. He says that ye should not obey the truth. And we know what these saints were doing. They were trying to place themselves back under the law. They were following the rudiments of the world. They were observing days and all these things. And Paul says, he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth, crucified among you. Well, we know Jesus Christ wasn't crucified in Galatia. What he's talking about is, I came to you with the word. And when I brought the word to you, it was as if Christ was crucified in your midst. It was as if I presented him to you as if he was crucified among you. And he says this, only what I would learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith, they receive the Spirit. And this is something that they receive, but look at what happens here. Are ye foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? These guys received it, but they didn't, again, as a son who ones will call a bad apple, they have the adoption. They have the actual means to understand their Father's word, the Spirit. And now he says, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit, capital F Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And again, there's a difference between walking and being led by the Spirit and being led by the works of this world. And this is what's being said here. Let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And again, in your spare time, go over these verses and take a look at what's being said here about receiving your father's doctrine in view of this, what this world is trying to offer you, what this world wants you to bind about your neck, what this world wants you to place as above anything your heart can desire. And when you act that way, this world looks upon you as favorable. You're going to reign as kings. You're going to be looked upon as someone very intelligent, someone well-liked when you're going along with this world's system and this world's ways. But when you're operating like a proper son and daughter in Christ, this world is going to view you as being foolish. But we see the way God the Father viewed these saints as being. They were being viewed as foolish because they were going along with what the world was teaching. All the law, the circumcision, all the rudiments of the world, observing the days. And at that time, observing days was really common. And you had a lot of people observing different days or times and months, all the years and all those things. And you were looked upon as an outcast if you weren't partaking in those things. And that's why the Galatians had problems going on, but they were looked upon as foolish, a foolish saint. Paul called them foolish twice here in three verses here. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at verse 1 here. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Now, looking at this, Paul says in verse 1, he says, having therefore these promises. Now, what are these promises? And we're going to see that. We're going to back up. I wanted to read that first, but we're going to back up into chapter 6. But notice what he says here. Having therefore received these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, Paul says. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Paul is saying, receive what we're trying to teach you. We haven't did anything wrong to anyone. We haven't corrupted anybody. We haven't defrauded anyone. And he's beseeching these saints by these promises that he says are in verse 1 here. And he's telling them, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And he's telling them to stay, mortify your members. And he's telling them to renew your mind, enlarge your heart. And let's look at that. Now come back to, keep in mind of what Paul said here. Come back to chapter 6. Let's look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? For what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he with that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, based upon what's said here, Paul comes along in chapter 7 and says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, what are the promises that is spoken here? Well, let's take a look at them. First, Paul says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he gives you a comparison that what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? And he gives a comparison of things of the thought, things of the spirit, and things of this world. Things of the spirit again with the things of this world again. And that's what you see here. And then he says, and what agreement, for in verse 16, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Now, I'm going to stop there. That's a promise. I will dwell in them. Look at the other thing here. And I will walk in them. That's another promise. And I will be their God. That's another promise. And they shall be my people. And now, these promises, you know, some would say, well, that's the same thing. Well, that's not the same thing. They're all different. It might seem as though they're the same, but you're dealing with what you see here. The outcome of that would be right here in verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And notice the Lord Almighty. This is a training. This is a something where that we ought to look upon the same thing as Paul said, having therefore these promises. These are things that are promised unto you. Well, God is going to dwell in you. He's going to walk in you. You're going to be his people. He's going to be your God. Most understand the fact that he's your God and that you're his people. But that's the way you look upon it. This is the way that God is looking upon it. This is what resonates in God's heart. That he's excited about, that he, when he said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. This is not just the understanding we have that, oh yeah, the God is my father, and I'm his son. Yeah, God can dwell in me, and he can walk in me. But this is a different story when you hear the words coming from the Father himself and what he values and esteems. And he wants to do as verse 17 says, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, there's a difference when you hear from, again, versus the child or the father. It has a different shade of meaning to it. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see what we now have that because we're adopted. And see what we are now that we've become adopted. What are we now? Let's take a look at what we are now that we're adopted, and we're going to close. And we can pick this up next week. Romans chapter 8, and let's take a look at verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And again, leaving off from the verses that we just left, speaking of what we are and what we mean unto God. And that's the thing with any child. When they know just how much their mother and father values and esteems them, regardless if they have 20 children, that they show them and give them that love that they need. Because it also rejoices their hearts. Now look at what we're called here. Let's come to Romans chapter 8, verse 29 here. And these are the mercies that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12. These are the mercies of God that he says, I therefore beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them also he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now, when you see in those five things there, you're looking at the idea that we are, that God did foreknow us. He did predestinate us. He called us. He also justified. And he also glorified us. These are things that God gave unto us. That, as Paul says, what shall we say to these things? And see, by those things, we're supposed to know that God is for us. And we know that God is for us. The next thing we got to know is, who can be against us? And verse 33 is what I'm after here. So when it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God to justify. That's the way God views you. This is the way that God views, the way he would want to view. You have that election. You are considered the elect of God. And then this is what he wants you to understand about the election. That the privilege that you have in him, because as ones that receive the spirit of adoption, and not to squander it or misuse it or want to do as we see again, as I said before about the high profile mothers and fathers who have their sons that we see on the news that they're living after this world. Now let's go to another verse here and we're going to close. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectiveness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also, ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, verse 12 here, Paul says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now, let's stop there. The first two words, put on, therefore. This is something that he couldn't tell a Galatian saint. They wouldn't have the capacity to put this on, to put on as the elect of God, as ones that are called to be, that had the election. The elect of God are the mature saints. Because they can put that on. He says, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies. Not just mercy, but mercies, kindnesses. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, what Paul just used here, a lot of people don't walk in that way. They would look upon that as being foolish. They would say that's foolishness. That's what the natural man would think if someone was to do something to you or anger you, and you were to say, I'm walking in the bowels of mercies. I'm walking in kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I'm forbearing one. I'm going to forbear that person. I'm going to forgive that person. I forgive because Christ forgave, not just because Christ forgave. Paul's not saying you forgive because Christ forgave. He's using Christ as an example. He's saying the reason what ought to be in your heart is that, wow, you know, Christ forgave. I ought to forgive. Why wouldn't I forgive? That's how the Holy Ghost teaches. That's how we're taught by the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Not as this world teaches, when this world will teach you that, oh, someone did you wrong. You're a fool if you don't retaliate. You're a fool if you don't tell that person what you feel. And they would look upon you as a fool because they can't receive the things of God. And also, what this says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When something rules in your heart, that is what your heart is blinded onto. Your heart has no choice but to follow that. The peace of God ruling in your heart will allow you to also let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Not just like, you see some people today, we have a lot of evangelists. There's evangelists that say they know God's word inside and out. They can read God's word from Genesis to Revelations without even looking at the Bible. They can recite it. But they don't have it dwelling in them richly in all wisdom. They know the words. Even atheists know the words of God, know some words of God. They can recite John 3:16 and tell you what it means. But again, this is what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then this is what we're taught to do, to be led by the Spirit of God as being sons and daughters in Christ. Now I'm going to close there, and I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. And *61 will get you into the queue. And I'm going to open things up here, turn it over to that. And *61 will get you into the queue. And what I want to do is also, I just want to thank everyone that was at the conference in Chicago on the 17th. We'll thank everyone that attended, and we had a good time there, and there's a lot of edification that took place. I'm still trying to see if there's a recording of that, and if I find that to be the case, I'll pass it on to everyone. But we had a great time there in Chicago, Bishop Michael McDaniel's conference there. And again, I just wanted to say that, the little commercial there, but this is something that we need to take in and receive. And when you see that in Romans chapter 8, when it talks about for ye have received the spirit of adoption, this is something that a son should want to receive as being a son and daughter in Christ that wants to learn his father's wisdom, that he wants to seek after, he wants to search after, and there's nothing is to be, compared onto it. There's no comparison. And because he is led by the Spirit of God, he is one that understands that now crying out of Father is the most important thing that he could do. Crying after knowledge, as we've seen over in the Proverbs. Searching for her and seeking for her and things of that nature. Well, with that, I'm going to close. And until next week, again, we're going to go over the issues here about the whole idea of discretion and how a son ought to walk with discretion and knowledge and discretion and things of that nature. And we're also going to take a look at some of the other issues that the son ought to have about his neck and the things that how he can learn to be what the father calls him to be and things of that nature. But with that, I'm going to close. And again, if you get the time, take a look at the issues here in Romans chapter 8 and some of the verses we went over, and We're going to see how things, all these things tie together and how all these things are make it where you could be called who God has called you to be.